Is your website purdy?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
Mind your business.
If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the minds at Mind Development and Design and our friends at Fresh Roasted Hosting. Thank you for checking us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for the Pinterest interest. Say that 10 times real fast. And as always, thank you, Whiff Roasters in Lititz, Pennsylvania, for making your wonderful coffee and chicory blend so that I may remain caffeinated. As promised, I've got a bit of a history lesson for you this week, and you may find yourself wanting to listen to this podcast a second time, or maybe even a third. Heck, listen to it 100 times. I'm okay with that. But and seriously, though, I don't mean that in an egomaniacal fashion. It's just that once you start to connect the dots, you recognize the method to the madness and have your aha moment. Okay, knock it off, knock it off. Incidentally, Moz, got to give props to Moz. They have a great chronological chart of Google's updates, which is very fascinating, very enlightening, and I found it very useful for this podcast. So got to give props, give credit where credit's due. Anyway, we're going to start by debunking the popular myth of PageRank. This is one of those little nuggets of information, one of these little details that you can keep kind of in your back pocket, and it's good to use to find out if the SEO that you're working with knows what they're doing, or if the SEO who is soliciting your business knows what they're doing. It's not the only barometer, but you would not believe the number of SEOs who don't know what PageRank is. Popular belief is that PageRank is the rank of your page. When you think about it, that in and of itself is ambiguous, because you know, most people just take it at face value and don't dig for more information on how their page gets ranked to begin with. Just, oh, PageRank. It's a moot point, though, because PageRank is an algorithm named after one of Google's founders, a man named Larry Page. Seriously, PageRank is determined by the number and quality of links coming into your website, and it was created by Larry Page. Google rarely updates the PageRank algorithm anymore because links are no longer basically the prime determining factor in your ranking in the SERPs. There really is no heavily weighed factor like links used to be in the search engine algorithm anymore. It's much more diversified. So remember, the name PageRank refers to Google co-founder Larry Page and not your web page. Now, all this stuff really began in December of 2000 when Google launched their Google Toolbar, complete with PageRank, and people started to become engaged and really started paying closer attention to, you know, to their pages ranking. And keep in mind, this is the early days of search engines, and SEO was not called SEO really back then. The first named update was in February 2003, and it was called Google Boston, and that's because it was first announced at SES in Boston. It was supposed to be a combination of major index refreshes and algorithm changes that were ideally going to be happening on a monthly basis, but they became much more frequent. This was kind of the beginning of Google recognizing that there was a lot of funny business going on with search rank manipulation, and that they were going... They had a lot of work to do, and they were going to have to dig deeper. So, in April and May of 2003 was a very busy year. In April and May of 2003, we had the Cassandra and Dominic updates. Cassandra was the beginning of Google's ongoing war with link spammers, and it rooted out link quality issues like massive linking from co-owned domains, link wheels, if you will, and hidden links and hidden text. Hidden text. The original keyword spam, where black text keyword spam would be hidden in black areas on your website and you couldn't see it unless you highlighted it with your cursor. Oh, you remember that. It came in white on white and a full array of gorgeous colors, too. Meanwhile, Dominic was an update of how Google reported backlinks. So already Google was starting to pay attention to links. And basically they caught on to spammers and how they were blatantly gaming the search algorithm. In July of 2003, Google ended the idea of monthly updates with what was called the Google Fritz update. Now, this was basically the beginning of Google doing incremental updates instead of trying to keep up with everything on a monthly basis. They quickly found out we can't keep up. There's so much funny business going on. We can't keep up with all this on a monthly basis. The importance of this is that Google discovered that their task was going to be more daunting than they expected and realized exactly that. They couldn't keep up with everything on a monthly basis. They were going to have to get more granular. Everything really changed in November of 2003 with the infamous Google Florida update. This is basically where Google said, okay, children, enough is enough. This is the update that arguably put the SEO industry and even updates themselves on the map. This was the true beginning of the end of websites benefiting from spammy tactics like keyword stuffing, and it was the first update that really got business owners angry because a lot of websites lost ranking and therefore they lost revenue. Got to maintain that bottom line, you know. In January of 2004, we're moving on to the next year. January of 2004, the Google Austin update came in and it took care of basically what Florida might have missed, the Florida update. And mostly on-page deception like invisible text and meta tag stuffing. You've heard me say repeatedly, get rid of your meta keyword tags. They are useless to you. And in fact, they can actually make you look like spam. So see, if you're still stuffing your meta tag keywords, you're over a decade outdated. Come on. February of 2004 brought the Google Brandy update. I'm guessing that they called it Brandy because they could probably use a Brandy after dealing with this mess. Google Brandy paid increased attention to the relevance of anchor text in linking and introduced what's called latent semantic indexing, or LSI. LSI marked the first major jump. And keep in mind, this is 11 years ago, this is 2004, is the first major jump in Google's ability to understand synonyms, and it was the beginning of search algorithms striving to become more intuitive, which made keyword analysis a whole lot more interesting, and honestly, to the point where I eventually decided to make a career out of it. Now, 2005 was a big year. Google introduced nofollow links, which basically protects you from any bad juju from a site that you're linking to. If a website you're linking to seems to be good, but you can't totally vouch for it, use the nofollow on your link. That way it can't pass any bad juju back to you. This was also the year that Google targeted duplicate content with what was known as the Bourbon update. I guess Brandy just wasn't enough at this point. And Google also first allowed XML sitemaps. And this was important to SEOs because it gave SEOs more direct, albeit minor influence, but more direct influence over indexing. 2005 was also the year that Google Maps first merged with Google Local. And that began the evolution to what is today known as Google My Business. And finally, 2005 was also the year of the Google Jagger update, which happened September through November, and it targeted paid links. Paid links, link farms, and low-quality links in general. So you can see from the beginning in 2003, Google has known that there's funny business going on with links, and that's why you hear me talk constantly about don't buy links. You have to be very careful in how you build your links to other sites and get links from other sites. Now, as your gears turn with this information, I want you to think about the fact that some of you may be paying, for or otherwise engaging in some of these tactics right now. There are people still selling these schemes if you don't know better and you're willing to pay. I mean, it's the truth of it. I want you to know better. Knowledge is power. Now, when we come back, we've covered, you know, kind of the genesis of SEO here going up to 2005. When we come back, we'll continue with the evolution of the modern SEO age.
Three words. Mind your
roadhouse.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDND.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
We are back on the Mind Your Business podcast talking about the evolution of Google's algorithm updates. Now, I want to emphasize that the focus here is on the updates that most affected SEO and the very evolution of SEO. So we're moving on to 2009, which saw the Google Vince update and a preview of the Google Caffeine update. Google Vince was a bit controversial because it seemed to favor big brands, and many businesses felt that Google was being unfair because it seemed that the big, well-known brand names were getting boosts in the search engine rankings. What happened, though, was that Google was factoring trust into the search algorithm, and big brands were benefiting basically because they had online presence for a longer period of time. Because, let's face it, in the early days of websites, the big brands were just about the only ones who could afford a web presence. Google Caffeine, meanwhile, was all about speed, faster crawling of an expanded index, bigger, better, faster, more. Search engine results became even more instantaneous. And 2009 ended with the introduction of real-time search. So now some SERPs included Google News, Twitter feeds, and other newly indexed content on a real-time feed. This, of course, evolved into including other social media later on. Google Caffeine was previewed in 2009 and formally rolled out in June of 2010. So, moving on to 2010, that was the year Google Places was introduced. That included, or that continued, the evolution that was begun in 2005 with the merging of Google Maps and Google Local Listings. This allowed better integration with local search results and added some monetization features like local advertising options. Also in 2010, the May Day update happened in late April and early May, and was really the precursor to what is known now as the Google Panda update. More about that later. May Day targeted the misuse or overuse of long-tail keywords and sites with large-scale thin content, like those sites set up obviously just for pay-per-click traffic. More on that later, too. Google Instant was also introduced in September of 2010, which allowed search results to appear as you're typing in your query. The year 2010 ended with both Google and Bing confirming something big, and that was that they were already using social media signals in their ranking factors. It wasn't a surprise. It really was inevitable. And it was a new step in the Google algorithm evolution, as at this point, Twitter and Facebook were the two major confirmed social platforms. Interestingly enough, it ended with a negative reviews algorithm change. And it's really interesting. This is just amazing stuff. because a New York-based company that sold eyeglasses and contacts, the company was called DecorMyEyes.com, they found a loophole where negative reviews would increase their online visibility. And it ultimately did, and it increased their traffic, and it increased their sales as well, because those negative reviews were not recognized as negative by Googlebot. And it made the business basically appear more popular. These people were not only abusive to their customers, but they openly bragged about it and bragged about how they used this negative reviews as a strategy. Yeah, I mean, obviously they paid for it later. It's mind-blowing, though, and I included a link to the New York Times expose article on the podcast page. Check it out. Seriously, you will not believe it, but it's true. So moving on to 2011. 2011 started out with Overstock.com and JCPenney being hit by Google penalty for shady SEO practices in January and February, respectively. This was a definite lead-in to the first Google Panda update that subsequently happened in late February. 2011 was basically the year of Panda, as after the first update, there were Panda updates in April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and sometimes Y. These updates further refined the Panda algorithm and got more granular with how it identified thin content. Thin content is basically worthless content. It's either too much of nothing or too little that says nothing. Take your pick. Choose your poison. Panda has been updated periodically, both major and minor updates, since 2011. The big updates have had roughly 6 months between them, and really what you need to know is Panda is Google's ongoing effort to penalize sites with thin content.
Fast and bulbous.
Now, 2011 was a big year in that Google introduced the plus one button to compete with other social media buttons like the Facebook like button, and 4 months later, they actually introduced Google Plus. Rounding out the evolutionary events of 2011, this was also the year Google officially embraced schema.org data and started rewarding websites for fresh content. This is why you always hear me yapping about being consistent with your blog posts. Freshness counts, not just at Subway. Googlebot wants to read fresh, too. And hopefully by now you are incorporating RDFA or some other implementation of schema.org data over your whole website. Next, 2012 was the year we were all supposed to disappear, but obviously that didn't happen or we wouldn't be spending quality time here right now. What did happen was that a lot of online business revenue did disappear, thanks to the Google Penguin update. While in reality, it affected only 3 to 5% of search queries, those that were affected were hit hard, and many of those businesses still haven't fully recovered. That is, if they're lucky enough to even still be around. A lot of businesses went belly up simply because they hired SEOs that were taking part in link wheels and other linking schemes, including buying links, which is a no-no. Keyword stuffing was also a Penguin parameter, although links were the major factor and still are. Like Panda, Penguin is updated periodically each year with further refinements. In 2012, Google introduced Knowledge Graph, which I've always thought it was cool. You see it in the SERPs, like say when you Google Susie and the Banshees. On the right side of the search results, you'll see a picture or pictures, links to where you can listen to their music, a few snippets of information about them, etc. Just do it and you'll see what I mean. 2012 was also the year the DCMA pirate penalty was released to penalize websites with repeat copyright violations, and exact match domain names were devalued in the EMD update, not to be confused with EMF.
You're unbelievable.
2012 ended with an expansion of the knowledge graph to non-English queries and a refresh of Panda to further target thin content. Now, it's interesting to note that also related to Panda's thin content targeting, Google had a page layout algorithm update that targeted pages with too many ads above the fold. If you don't know what above the fold means, it just means what you see on the screen before you have to start scrolling down. Next up, we go into 2013. 2013 saw further refinement of Panda and Penguin. And the first big update in 2013 is known as the payday loan update. It basically targeted search query niches that are notoriously spammy. In this case, payday loans and porn were specifically mentioned. 2013 saw the Hummingbird update, which was in actuality a really big update, but you didn't hear much about it because it didn't target spammers. Danny Sullivan on Search Engine Land had the best description of it, in my opinion. He said it was like dropping a new engine in an old car whose body was basically still in good shape. Basically, there were outdated aspects of the old algorithm that just needed overhauling. At the end of 2013, we saw the first indication that Google authorship was going to be changing. When, in fact, it disappeared altogether from 15% of queries for about a month, leading into 2014, last year. And in June of last year, this authorship change happened full force, with authorship photos being removed altogether from the SERPs. Now, it's important to note that author rank is still viable in linking your online content to your Google Plus profile. You just won't have a picture anymore in the SERPs there. 2014 saw the introduction of an update that SEOs named Pigeon. Google basically wanted to deliver better local search results, and Pigeon dramatically changed some of the local results, including modifying how they interpret your business's physical location. 2014 was also the year that site security became more important with the HTTPS SSL update. You heard me talk about that when it was happening on the podcast last October. Came as no surprise at all that Google would be giving preference to secure sites, and that getting your certificate going to HTTPS would give you a mild rankings boost. Google indicated it would be a mild boost, but they also said that if this change proved to be positive, the rankings boost could actually increase. Now, Panda and Penguin were both updated last year. Specifically, the most important update was the Penguin Everflux update, because it moved Penguin to a continuous update rather than periodic major updates. So Google is now on the constant lookout for link spam. The Pirate 2.0 update was also released last year in October and was part of Google's continuing war against software and digital media piracy. Remember the Pirate Bay fiasco? Yep, BitTorrent sites were hit hard. So now that this year's first big update has happened, the mobile update we've been talking so much about, what does all of this update gibberish mean at the end of the day? It means that the SEO industry was born out of the search engines not being able to merely trust the words on every website. As spammers have found new ways to game the search algorithms, Google has had to find new ways to catch the spammers and be proactive in outsmarting them. It's a cat and mouse game, but it's like I've said for years, don't game the search engines. Have purity of purpose in your placement of keywords in titles and descriptions and elsewhere. Present content on your website that is honestly helpful to your visitors, and build your links through sharing valid and helpful content. Do that and you will be okay. And all of these other things like RDFA and social signals will have more valuable impact on your search rankings. Thank you so much for tuning in this week to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by Mind Development and Design and our friends at Fresh Roasted Hosting. Please take this information to heart. Listen to it again if you need to. I hope you found this helpful and empowering for you to ask better questions and get more out of your SEO. Thank you, Whiff Roasters in Lititz, Pennsylvania, for keeping me caffeinated. And thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and for the interest on Pinterest. Send us your questions through Facebook, comment on our podcast page, email us at info@minddnd.com, or click that bodacious Ask a Question button on the right side of our podcast page. We love your questions. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
Ow! Roadhouse.